Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, where it is cold. As we do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern, we have got a phenomenal show lined up for you with an incredible guest that I've been looking forward to now for a couple of weeks. We have my co-host, Linda Feinholz, Rhonda Del Baccio is what I almost said, Linda Feinholz, the founder of Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda's calling in this week from Los Angeles, California, where I am hoping it is warmer than where I'm at.
It is. I don't want to tell you that it was 90 yesterday, but...
Well, it was 88 yesterday, but by the time I got up this morning, it was only 41.
Oh, Lord. Oh, dear. Well, we'll hope that the weather warms up for you so you can go sit out on your porch with the birds squawking and the animals running by.
Yeah, I'm sitting outside today wrapped up in blankets. It's really cold.
Well, I'm looking forward to bringing Rich on to join us. Rich Brooks is the president of Flight New Media, and that's a web design and internet marketing company that works in particular with small businesses and nonprofits to increase their online visibility, drive more qualified traffic to their site, and convert that traffic into leads and business, which is what we all are looking for. He's also the founder of The Marketing Agents, and that's an online resource for entrepreneurs who are looking to reach more of their ideal customers through search, social and mobile marketing, and so on, which you and I spend so much time talking about here. And finally, and I know we're going to talk about this today as well, he's the founder of the Agents of Change Digital Marketing Conference. It's an annual conference that takes place in Portland, Maine, as well as online. And I bring that into this conversation because it's so important. We live in a world where trying to get at information now takes place in so many different media, and there's times where you literally need to get yourself out of your office and go to a conference and really steep yourself in what's going on. So, Rich, I'm really looking forward to talking about that as well today.
Sounds great. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, welcome. So, Gina, you uncovered Rich Brooks through a fabulous article he had online about how to create links in YouTube. And, Rich, you were just updating us that, as is so typical, YouTube changed something.
Yeah, so I believe the posting question was how to create links from within your YouTube videos to your website, something they didn't really let you do previously. You could always link from underneath your descriptions, but this was right from the video, create clickable links. And when I discovered this, I'm like, oh, my God, this is so easy. And so I made a little video. I posted it up. I embedded it in my blog. And within, I think it was a week and a half, two people commented on my blog post saying this no longer works. The button you're talking about doesn't exist. So
weird. I just did it yesterday.
Oh, you did? Okay, so you know what it might be? This is interesting. So YouTube often rolls things out, a lot of these sites do, in pieces. So maybe,
yes,
I'm
they
glad you
do.
Said that, because maybe they haven't yet seen these changes. What I was going to suggest, if it turns out that yet they changed it one more time, that what I would do is using these things called annotations within YouTube that allow us to create little hotspots, so to speak, within a YouTube video, I could have something that says, if this no longer works for you, click here to see the updated video, which would then take them to a new video where I could show them the updated version. And if you're doing a lot of these online videos and posting them to YouTube, those annotations are fantastic. Because every time I create a how-to video on Facebook, by the time it goes live, Facebook changed something. So I've started to add little things in the middle of it that says, hey, if you're no longer seeing this button, it means you're seeing the new version. Click here to watch my how-to movie on that. And then right within the movie, I'm suddenly taking somebody to a movie or video that's much more helpful for that particular audience member.
And that's really brilliant.
That's
you know,
a great
it's a strategic
idea.
Issue here that we all keep looking for things we can optimize, techniques we can systematize, and then we're dependent on outside of our business, a resource such as YouTube, and they've got their own strategies and changes, but that's so cool. Rich, if somebody wants to go see you using that annotation live, where would they go?
Well, I guess
I've got an Ask GGG
that,
link to your article. AskGGG.com
yeah, that article will show
forward
some
slash
of the,
YouTube
I'm,
Live.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So that article will show an example of me using the annotations in there, but I do plan on rolling out some more videos that show people how to create all different types of annotations in YouTube. It's very simple once you see it, but a lot of people don't realize you can do this. So you can have calls to action right within your videos that get people to subscribe to your channel or get people to start watching another video. I've actually wanted to create, remember those create your own or choose your own adventure books back when you were kids?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I wanted to do something with that with videos where we could just do something like, okay, here's where you are. What do you think we should do? And then people could choose, and then we create a series of videos almost like a branching tree, and people could choose their own videos right within a YouTube type of scenario. I thought that'd be fun.
When I first set it up after reading your articles, it's a little bit misleading because in the settings under channels in YouTube, you set up associated website, which to me is my site, directionsyou.com. But when I go to the annotations to go and do this in the video, I went, does it have to be that link or could I put something else in? And it turns out I can put anything in. I can put a raw affiliate link in. Not that that's a good idea to do, but I wanted to see if it would work. I could put a link to your site. I could put a link into literally anything I wanted. If there's a link for it, you can put it in. So it
would
be
wow, that's
to
something
tell
I just
people
learned.
That that's possible.
I didn't even realize. You know, I didn't never tested it. So that's great advice, and now I know that. Because I was thinking there would be another way around it where you would just create an iframe. We may be getting geeky for your audience. I don't know. But
you don't even need to do that. You can just put
exactly.
in any link you want. It's awesome.
That's fantastic. Because I have plenty of websites, and sometimes I might want to direct somebody to a, for example, I did a video shortly after I put that video together where I was talking about a LinkedIn and SlideShare webinar I was putting on, and then I had a link to action there too, but I sent it to a page on my website rather than directly to the GoToWebinar sign-up page requiring an extra step. Had I known that, I could have made it simpler for my viewers.
Yeah, and that's exactly how I figured it out. I was doing a preview webinar. I just sold a tickets to a workshop this past weekend that was virtual, all about webinars and video marketing. And last week, I was doing some video marketing to bring people to a free webinar to sell tickets to this workshop. And I was like, oh, man, I don't want to send them to directionsyou.com. That's not where my webinar sign-up page is. It's on GoToWebinar. So I decided
right.
I'd try it and see it, and sure enough, it sent them straight to GoToWebinar. It was awesome.
That's fantastic, yeah.
And I've tried pretty much anything you can try, and it works with everything.
Well, that's great to know because YouTube seems to be going out of their way to make it easier for some for businesses and nonprofits to market themselves using the platform, which makes it a more attractive platform for us to continue using.
Exactly. And the whole point of this workshop this weekend was to teach people how to do webinars using Google Plus Hangouts that are live streamed into YouTube. Just for your own knowledge, this works both with videos you upload into YouTube and with videos done live streaming on YouTube, so that after the live stream is over, you can actually go into the video, put some annotations in, and make them clickable to go to wherever you want.
Hmm. And interesting. Have to check that out.
Oh, it's a big deal. When you do Google Plus Hangouts that are live streamed onto YouTube, your YouTube videos will always show up on the front page of Google right now. They're really pushing YouTube live streams. So if you took the same content, the stuff that you'd normally upload a video of, and instead played it live through a Google Plus Hangout that live streamed to YouTube, you'll sometimes in better, more competing keywords, you'll see 2 to 3 pages higher search engine ranking just by doing it live instead of uploading.
All right, I'm going to try that out.
I'll send you access to the workshop from this weekend. You'll get a lot out of it.
Excellent. I look forward to it.
Sounds So how the heck did you get into this whole world of helping business owners better understand how to drive traffic and use social media and whatnot?
Well, it wasn't really a plan, but originally back in 1997, I was starting to play around on the internet. I was working for another company at the time, and I'd always liked computers, so I was a little surprised to find out that there were articles about this thing called the internet in the Boston Globe, and these reporters seemed to know more about computers than I did. So I bought myself a new computer, I sat down, and I just started hacking away and trying to figure out how to build these websites they were talking about, and it wasn't too difficult, at least at the beginning. And then I just decided, rather than continue to work for somebody else, I would just try for a couple of years to design my own websites for businesses. And until programmers learned how to design and designers learned how to program, I gave myself about 2 years before that happened, and then I'd be out of a job. But here I am over 16 years later, and I'm still around. What I found is that there are very few programmers who can design and vice versa. So what I ended up doing is just starting to create websites for businesses, but some of the questions that people kept on coming up with is, how do I rank higher in AltaVista, which just goes to show how long I've actually been doing this. So I started to figure out search engine optimization, and then a few years after that, people started sending me these emails with pictures in them, and they're like, how do people do this? Because at the time, all emails were text, and so I figured that out. We started adding that to what we were doing, and then later on, it was blogging, and then social media, and then webinars. And so basically, what I realized is that businesses need more than a website. They really need a web strategy. And the only reason businesses should have a website is to either sell something or generate leads. You know, that's really the purpose. And even when you get into the world of nonprofits, it's very similar too. You know, either, you know, nonprofits are very often looking for donations, or they're looking for members, or they're looking to get people behind a cause. And although they may not like some of the terminology we use in business, the bottom line is really they're trying to accomplish the same thing, which is why we've always had good success working with nonprofits that are entrepreneurial in mindset. And so that's kind of how I got started. Started with websites, and then it was basically like, okay, well, websites are pretty, but then how do you actually make them work for your business? And we've been refining that message and what we're trying to teach people and businesses over the last 16-plus years.
And there's a big takeaway in what you've just shared for all of our listeners. You've done things much the same way that I have. You started out on a path, planning on going in one direction. You listened to what your customers and prospects were telling you, and you kind of course corrected and gave them what they wanted over and over and over again. And that's really what it takes to build a business successfully. You can start out with what you want to do and put that out there, but if you're not listening to the feedback you're getting from customers and prospects, correcting the course and moving forward, you are missing the boat big time, right?
I agree. I mean, the bottom line is we're not really in business for ourselves. We're in business for other people and to serve other people. And we need customers and clients to succeed. And they tell us what they want. If we're listening, we can hear that voice.
Yeah, really important takeaway. I hope all our listeners really get how well you have done that. So when you start working with a company that's relatively new, what should they do first?
You know, there's no one-size-fits-all when a business comes to us. And we deal with some very established businesses, ones who have been in business we recently did a website for somebody who had been in business over 175 years, and then we have people who come to us with a business idea that they like to see implemented. So it really does depend on what's going on. If somebody comes to me and they have no website or they have a very ineffective website, we start even before the website. And the questions I ask people are, first of all, what are your top three business goals? Like, what are you looking to accomplish? Who are your top three audiences? Who do you think you can help the most? And then what would their goals be when they arrive at your website? What are they looking to accomplish by going there? And those three questions with their three answers each really help drive the entire process, what we call the flight plan, because if you work with us, you're just doomed to listen to a whole bunch of flight-related puns. But the flight plan is about how do you start with an idea and get to an effective, successful website by the end of the project. And so as long as you keep on saying I'd like to add a slideshow. Okay, well, how does that serve your audience? How does that help them accomplish their goals? Because if it doesn't, then you don't need a slideshow. You know, so it's, I want to have e-commerce. Well, how does that help? You know, is that really what people are looking for? And if it is, great, let's include it. And if it's not, let's get rid of it, because it just becomes a distraction and you're spending your money and resources on things you don't need. So that's usually it. And a lot of people come to me and they say, you know, oh, I want to be on Facebook and I want to do this. And I say, you know, just hold on. Because, you know, Facebook's great. Google Plus can be great. Twitter's my personal favorite. YouTube, all these sort of things. But the bottom line, the one thing that you need to succeed is a home base, a platform you can call your own. And that, in my opinion, is a website. Now, it may be a blog website or a hybrid, but the bottom line is you need to stake out your own territory on the web with a domain name that you own and control, and a place that you can continually point people back to. So even if you engage them on Facebook or get a bunch of followers on Twitter or have a lot of LinkedIn connections, you always need to be driving them back to your website for some sort of conversion, whether it's to sign up for an email newsletter to build your list, whether it's to get them to pick up the phone, whether it's to get them to fill out a contact form or to buy something. The bottom line is the website is where the rubber hits the road on your business, and that's where you constantly, gently need to be leading people towards, in my opinion.
Really great advice. So, Linda, I'm going to let you jump in here.
Yeah, you know, Rich, as you've been talking about this, I've really been thinking about so many of the clients that I work with who have become utterly distracted, as you were just talking about, with, well, should they be on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn or Google Plus and so on, and they lose sight of the strategic fact of needing that home base of their website. And I'm thinking about some clients that I was working with last week who really, really, really had that, had all of their time and energy upside down. What do you do when you're working with a client who's become connection obsessed through all the social media, and you really need to redirect their time and efforts and energies back to focusing on where you're trying to drive everybody to or invite everybody to, which is that home-based platform?
Well, to be honest, I actually deal with more people who are like, hoping the social media thing is a fad.
Yeah.
So that's usually not the conversation I have to have with them. But if somebody were to come to me and they were like, well, and that's actually, and there are a lot of people who say, like, here's my Facebook page, here's my Twitter account, here's my LinkedIn, here's my Google Plus, here's where I'm on SlideShare, here, this, 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 and this. And I'm like, great, I see that you're in a lot of places, but what kind of conversations are you having at them? It looks like the last time you updated your blog was a month ago. Your Twitter feed is basically just pushing out your Facebook updates. Your Facebook updates are about how wonderful you are. You know, what kind of conversations do you think you're having, and do you really think they're engaging? Also, when was the last time you tried to pay your light bill with Facebook likes? You know? So, yes, Facebook can be a great way of engaging your audience, but the bottom line is the number of fans you have does not directly impact your bottom line. It may indirectly impact it if you're using that engagement correctly, but you know, I tell people this all the time when they complain that they don't get enough comments on their blog. I'm like, I can help you get more comments on your blog, but just remember, comments aren't customers.
Right.
You know, they may lead to customers, and they can do a lot of things like prove that you're they can establish your credibility. They offer social proof. There's a lot of benefits there. But the bottom line is, if you're in this for building your business or being sustainable or growing your business, whatever it may be, you always need to think about how is this helping me grow my business by serving other people. And so that's a lot of what we need to focus on. And, yeah, it's great that you have that many followers on Twitter, but if you were to post something like that you're having a sale or that you have a paid course you're offering, would anybody respond to that? And if the answer is no, it's great if you enjoy being on Twitter, but if you don't enjoy it or if you're using it for business and it's not bringing you any business, then it's a complete and utter waste of time, and there's no return on your investment there.
You put your finger on something really vital, especially in the entrepreneurial world where passion is underlying a lot of what is driving businesses, is folks forget that they need to remember to put their metrics in place. What is the return on investment of the time, the energy, the resources that are going into all of that chatting, all of that connecting, all of that time online, and exactly how is that actually being monetized?
Right. And that's a big thing. And, you know, you can start, and sometimes, you know, the whole numbers game becomes very confusing for people, but you can simplify some of those ROI, the return on investment numbers. You know, for example, you can go into Google Analytics, and everybody should have Google Analytics or a similar type of robust analytics report. Have that, and then in Google Analytics, you can set up goals. So, for example, right now, we're not selling anything on our website, you know, because most people don't come to our website and say, hey, I'd love to buy a website, click here to buy now. It just doesn't happen. You know, we are a lead generation business. People want to start a conversation with us. So what I did is just 1 year, I think it was a year or two ago, I basically looked at how much money we'd made over the course of the year and how many people filled out our contact form, and I just did some simple math. And so let's say, you know, that you do this and you find out that you made $100,000 last year and you had 1,000 people fill out your contact form. You could roughly say that each one of those were, I stink at math, but worth $100. So every time somebody fills out your contact form, it's worth $100. Now, obviously, some are going to be completely worthless, and others are going to be worth $10,000. But the bottom line is we say they're worth $100 each. We plug that into Google Analytics, and then we can find out by setting up these goals, where did that traffic come from? And if it turns out that a lot of your traffic is filling out your forms after they've read your blog post, or they're following, or the people who come from Facebook are filling out your contact form, then you know this is where I should be spending more of my time. Now, a few years ago, at a conference that I put on, I was doing a presentation on YouTube, and so I started looking into this. And what I discovered was fascinating. People who came and watched a video first on YouTube of Flight New Media, which generally stars me because I'm a megalomaniac. So they see me, I'm talking, I'm showing them how to do something. And then at the time, I didn't have clickable links back to the website, but there's a link underneath each video, a text link that people can click on. I would find that the traffic that came through YouTube to our website, those people were 700% more likely to fill out our contact form than the average site visitor.
Wow.
Now that tells me, and I wish I would take my own advice sometimes, but I get busy and I've got, you know, functional ADHD, that I should be making more videos because videos equal money for my business.
Right, and it's
so
really important
really,
for the folks who are listening to understand that was your statistical result. So one of your clients might have the complete opposite one, and you don't know unless you go into the analytics.
Absolutely. They may not be as charming as me. They may not be as good looking. I'm just kidding. But, yeah, you're exactly right. Maybe you stink at making online videos, or you don't have a product that's demonstrable, and maybe it turns out that webinars are driving the high-quality leads to your website, or personal speaking engagements are driving it. You just got to find ways of tracking that information so that you know that, and that's ultimately how you find, okay, well, I need to do more webinars, or I need to do more videos, or I need to do more blog posts, or I need to do more guest appearances on podcasts. Whatever it may be, that's where I need to really focus. That's where my potential, my ideal customer is hanging out, and that's how I need to reach them.
And there's two aspects that you're bringing up. One is all of the various branching activities that could be done, and how, and again, from the analytics side, how much of it do you have to do in order to actually have enough statistics to check where you should or shouldn't be spending your time and energy? So when you're working with folks who say, well, there's now 17 things I could be doing online and there's only so many hours in a day, is there a priority in which you recommend people actually take on the various activities?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of going deep rather than going broad. So if you really haven't started in any sort of web marketing or social media, I suggest doing one or two things and getting really good at those and then branching out. Nobody ever succeeded by trying to do everything at once. You know, even when you look at these giant successful corporations these days, you know, Facebook, which is the world's biggest social media platform, started by only being for college, Ivy League college students. Huffington Post, which is a very popular website right now, started off as a left-wing news magazine, online news magazine. You know, so a lot of people start with a very specific niche, and then once you master that, then you can branch out. So what I often tell people is maybe what you should do is think about, I talk about social platforms and social networking, and obviously there's a lot of overlap, but a social platform would be like a blog or a podcast or online video, where you basically have a soapbox and people can respond to you, but really you're driving that conversation and you kind of have a home base there. And actually on all three of those platforms, you can actually get subscribers. You can get subscribers to your blog, to your podcast, and to your YouTube channel, for example. So think about what of those platforms might be best suited for you and your business and your customers, and then also what might be the most appropriate social network for you. Facebook, very good for business-to-consumer brands. LinkedIn, very good for B2B brands. Or a lot of times when social networking is difficult, you know, Twitter is a great way to drive a lot of traffic, so that might be one for you. If you mostly care about search engine optimization, then maybe you need to start with Google+. Not one of my favorite platforms, but everybody has their own personal taste on what works best for them. And then, of course, there's also, you know, if you want to do something for fun, that's a completely different conversation. I probably put more time into Twitter than the ROI would suggest that I should, but I love the platform more than any other platform, so for me it's also just kind of an outlet.
And do you find each of those outlets is drawing a different type of customer or client?
There's a lot of overlap, quite honestly, and it depends on your business. Speaking just for Flight New Media, that there's a lot of overlap in terms of all those different platforms, although some people spend more time in one platform than another platform. But based on your industry, one thing that kind of frustrates me is the idea that, like, well, everybody's on Facebook, so I should be on Facebook. Yes, your customers may be on Facebook, but do they really care about your business while they're on Facebook? You know, that's a very important question to ask. Yeah, your entire customer base may be on there, but they don't want to hear from you while they're checking out, you know, pictures from the last camping trip or something like that, and you're just wasting your time and energy by being on that platform. There may be better places where people are more receptive to your message at that particular time.
Cool.
And again, that can be an industry-by-industry specific question. You know, you could also do something like most businesses, except brand new startups, have some sort of customer base built up. You may just send out a survey. You know, we just did one the other day. Send out a survey to your customers and find out where they are online and find out, you know, if we had updates or specials or some special deal for customers, where would you most like to hear about them? Would you like to get an email? Would you like to see it on our Facebook page, through Twitter? That sort of thing, that can give you a sense of where your audience is. Now, that can be misleading because maybe that's your current audience, but you need to branch out into new audiences. But if you're looking to get more of the same type of customer, talking to your current customer base can give you a sense of where more of your ideal customers are hanging out.
Indeed. Do you find a difference when you're dealing with nonprofits versus for-profit businesses?
Difference, yes, but I mean, same kind of questions need to be asked. I think with a nonprofit, and again, it really depends on the nonprofit. You know, people think of nonprofits in one way, but my experience has been there's all different types of nonprofits. You know, I used to sit on the board for what's now Maine Businesses for Sustainability. That's very much a business-oriented nonprofit, where that might be something completely different than a cancer walk group or something like that, where people may want to see that kind of stuff in their newsfeed because they want to see. Or if you do anything with animals, you know, that's a natural for Facebook. So you still need to ask the same questions. You may just come up with different answers.
Got it. Now, you both advise startup clients. You advise clients that have had their online presence for a while and so on. What kinds of approaches do you take to working with people?
In terms of how does Flight New Media work with a customer?
Exactly.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
So there's a few different ways. Portland, Maine is Maine itself is a very small town. I mean, we only have one area code for the entire state, just to give you a sense of how many people live here. So I'm always running into people I know, either because they're vendors or customers or competitors who I'm friendly with. So you kind of have to assume you're going to run into all the people you do business with, so you better be on your best behavior at all times, which is great. And actually, everybody should behave like that, even if you're in a huge, you know, even if you're in L.A. or New York, just behave like that anyway. So when customers come to us, sometimes we do it all. We do the design and development of their website, and then we also do things like search engine optimization and social media and other marketing plans as well. And other times we might get a call from a designer in town who says, listen, I'm designing this website for somebody, but they want e-commerce now. I'm not comfortable doing it, or I don't really want to do the social media thing. Can we use you for that? And so then we'll just take a portion of that, and we'll work with these designers or developers in town and just do the part that they don't want to. So it can work a couple of different ways. But again, I think, and this is true with any business, is like you need to listen to what people want. So, you know, sometimes I'll talk to somebody and we have these low-priced pre-designed websites that we've designed. They're very fast to launch and they're significantly less expensive than a custom design site. Now, of course, I enjoy doing the custom design sites because they're more profitable, there's more money in them, they look gorgeous, I can promote them, it shows off the best work that we do. But sometimes somebody will come in and they only have a certain amount of money. And from talking to them, I realize that they need help with social media, or we need to do some search engine optimization for them. And if we do a custom website, there's no money left in the budget. So in that case, I might recommend, hey, listen, let's start you off with one of these pro sites and focus on really improving the traffic that's coming to your website so you can do more business, so then you love us and you come back and you spend more money with us when you have it. You know, so those are some of the things that you need to listen to. What's important to the customer, not what's important to you.
And I love what you just shared, which is the fact is over time I've had clients and students in my programs who become obsessed with trying to find the perfect look and feel for their site. And what you were just describing was get a site up so we can start with the first strategy, which is getting you found, that in turn will produce the revenue, which will let you go back and adapt it later.
Absolutely. And that's really important. Because, you know, that being said, though, websites should be conversion machines. So websites that are five-page brochures that don't really ask anything of the viewer are never going to succeed. So, again, this gets back to those original questions. What do people want to accomplish on your website? What are your business goals? So you need to think about that. Like if I'm trying to generate leads, let's say that I do consulting work, and I want to generate leads because obviously I want business, I need to think about how do I get somebody to give me their contact information so I can continue the conversation. So what I may have is, let's say that I consult with businesses on how to become more sustainable, you know, talking about main business or sustainability. So I might have a white paper that has 50 ways businesses can become more green, or 10 things businesses are doing that are wasteful and expensive, whatever it may be, a free white paper that I offer. Because that's interesting to my target audience. They come to my website, hopefully, if I've done the search right and the social media right and I've passed out my business cards and done presentations and however I get them to my site. But right there on the homepage, I need a big opt-in, something that says, download this white paper for free, something like that. They click on the link, maybe to click on the download. It takes them to a page that says, not only are you going to get this free article, you're going to get all these other benefits, plus you'll be subscribed to our email newsletter. You can unsubscribe at any time once you've downloaded this article. What I find is when you do something like that, you greatly increase the number of people who sign up for a mailing list, sign up, opt in to hear from you again and again. And this is important because you really want to make sure, A, that your free giveaway is only interesting to those people that would come to your site, so it's really exactly right for them. And you get them to take an action. Once you get them to take an action, like clicking on a link that says download the free article, they're already showing that they're interested in you, and it's also these little yeses that lead you to the bigger sale. So you get them to sign up for something, to take some sort of action, and now hopefully this content you've created is awesome, because if it's only mediocre, they're going to look at your stuff and be like, this person is only meh. I don't really care about this person. But if you overwhelm them with quality, even though you're giving it away for free, they're going to be like, oh, my God, this person has some amazing content. I wonder what else they can do. Meanwhile, you've got them in your email database. You're able to send emails to them. You've added them to your newsletter. And once a month or once a week, you publish some very cool content, sharing some ideas that's going to help them succeed. And after a while, when the next time that they need your type of services or immediately, they're going to say, I at least have to talk to that person, because obviously they're leaders in their field. They've established their expertise and credibility. They've given me all this stuff for free. Imagine what would happen if I actually start paying them. And that's how you build your business, using a website.
And those of us who spend our time in marketing are on so many lists and looking at so many different resources because we're perpetually in the mode of learning what's happening and what's going on and who's doing what. We forget that our customers, our clients, in some ways are doing the exact opposite. They're looking for experts so they can stop looking and just know that they've got in their Rolodex who they would turn to when they want a solution.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes as marketers we forget that not everybody is like us.
Right. Not everybody is subscribing to 300 newsletters and constantly, you know, looking to see what everybody else is doing. They're getting on with designing and running their own businesses and looking for who's their short list of experts going to be when they need help.
Exactly.
Yeah, cool. So you've been very involved in creation of the marketing agents. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Well, because I have so much free time running my own business and having my own family, last June, I was in New York City for Blog World, and somebody I've become friendly with and done some business with is Mike Stelzner over at Social Media Examiner. And over dinner, he really was saying to me that I had a great voice, which is very flattering to hear, and that he wanted to help me kind of establish my own voice outside of Flight New Media. And so basically take me on as a mentee, which was incredibly flattering. And I jumped at the chance, and it did mean creating something new. And I had already created a year before something we might talk about, this online and real-life conference called the Agents of Change. And Mike is very strongly believes that one of the first things you need to do is establish your brand before you even launch anything. And he's done a great job with Social Media Examiner. It doesn't look like anything else out there. And so for me, I had this brand that I already liked, the Agents of Change, and we decided to just kind of create and the three agents for Agents of Change are search, social, and mobile, and they have this very cool look and feel, in my opinion. For the marketing agents, we came up with this new character that kind of looks somewhere between Indiana Jones and Nathan Drake from the Uncharted video game series.
I basically love image.
An explorer, somebody who is, you know, looking to find new places, explore, reach a certain amount of risk. And so we created this character and created this idea behind it. And really, this is my platform for sharing some of my ideas that might not be exactly right for the kind of things I'm writing when I'm writing for Flight. And I wanted to turn the Flight blog into more of a communal thing anyways for a lot of my coworkers, not just for myself. So I launched with a blog back in January. And I've started recording some podcasts, and my podcasts will be coming out hopefully in the next month or so. I've got a bunch of experts that I've been interviewing. And then also the YouTube channel, and that's where I'm starting from. So those are really it's more about a social platform than anything else. I don't have a Facebook page for this yet. I did start a Google Plus page just because I don't understand Google Plus enough, and I figured this was a good opportunity. And then I also started Pinterest because I know even less about Pinterest, and I figured, again, this was a good opportunity for me to learn more about these platforms. So for me, a lot of the marketing agents is about just sharing with people everything that I've learned from running my own business and reaching more of my ideal customers, but it also works almost like a lab, an active lab for everything we're talking about in Flight. So I can go ahead and try something with the marketing agent, see if it works, and then go back to Flight and write up about here's what I experienced when I was doing this sort of stuff.
That's cool. And, you know, as we've been talking today, I have a little Post-it note sitting next to the computer, and I've been jotting notes to myself. I have 7 different strategies and 17 at the moment. The current count is 17 different tactics that we've talked about today. So I hope our listeners, our audience, is planning to listen to this again, because the point that's been made over and over is you can't do it all. But the path to figuring out what you can be doing is to be able to lay out what the options are. And then a resource like the marketing agents, where you demo different things, helps people say, okay, which one am I going to take on now? What would the easy first steps be? Unless they actually want to turn to you and say, okay, how do I hire you to do this for me? What are the parts I, as your client, have to do? And what are the parts that I hand off the baton to you?
Right. And it's interesting because when I first started promoting the marketing agents, one of the things that you always think you have everything down and then you ask people for their feedback and then unfortunately they give it to you. And one of the things that I found out was like people were like, yeah, what's in this for you? And I'm like, no, nothing. I mean, I'm trying to build an audience. I may have something down the road. They're like, no, what's for sale? I'm like, I have nothing for sale. They're like, well, where's your consulting business? I'm like, if you want consulting, I'll put on my Flight New Media hat, I'll walk you over. They couldn't understand this idea that I was just creating something to share resources. And I'm not sure what the takeaway from that is. I mean, should I have started by selling something? I don't think that was the right thing. I just wanted to be able to share content. And I've been curious to talk to other people who have done similar things where they've just put out an amazing amount of free content at the beginning with nothing to sell and been like, did anybody ever think that you had some ulterior motive all along? So, you know, definitely learning some stuff about human psychology in terms of doing this and wondering if perhaps I should have had something to sell right off at the beginning just so people would have been like, yeah, I'll sign up for your email newsletter now that I know you're trying to sell me X, Y, and Z.
I don't know. I'm a great believer in the three-legged stool. So you've got Flight New Media on one leg, the marketing agents on the second leg, and then you've got the agents of change on the third leg. And I would love for you to share how that came about and how that takes place now.
Sure. Actually, this is something I love. I get very excited about every year at the Agents of Change Digital Marketing Conference. So a few years back, I and two friends got together, and I said basically, like, we had just started talking about social media. This was back in 2009 as a marketing tool, and we had each given speeches locally about social media. Every one of these was a complete sellout. For the first time, the groups that had hired us, or not hired us because they didn't pay us, but the first time they engaged us, had ever had a sellout, we were selling out every single time we talked about social media. So I said to my friends, I'm like, why are we doing this for free while the companies that are bringing us in are actually charging for this? Why don't we just put on our own conference? Plus, then I get more speaking gigs, so because, of course, I have to speak if I do my own conference. So we put together something called Social Media FTW, which stood for For the Win, and for 3 years, we put on this conference here in Maine, and it grew every year. And by the third year, we had finally hired an event planner because we were doing this by the seat of our pants. We had the local NBC station actually live streaming some of the conference for us as well, which was cool. And it really worked out. But after 3 years, the band kind of broke up. And having not learned my lesson, because actually the day after I put on the third conference, I'm like, I will never do this again. So much work. Just so emotionally draining once it's over. And the very next day, just by chance, I don't know if you know Chris Brogan, but in the internet marketing world and social media, he's kind of like the Michael Jordan or Larry Bird if you come from New England. And he comes from Maine. He doesn't live here anymore, but he was up for an event, and I saw him, and I go, I'm the kind of guy, I will reintroduce myself to you a million times because I don't want either of us to be embarrassed if you forget who I am. So I walk up to him, and I said, hey, Chris, it's Rich. He goes, Rich, I know who you are. I'm like, okay, cool. He goes, so how'd your thing go yesterday? And inside I said, oh, my God, Chris Brogan knows I had a thing yesterday. Luckily, that was my inside voice, not my outside voice. And I said, yes, you know, had this great conference and, you know, had like 400 people there and another 250 watched online, whatever. And he's like, oh, you know, I'd really like to get involved with this one day. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'd love to do this. Meanwhile, the band was breaking up, so I decided to start this new thing called the Agents of Change. And it was all about search, social, and mobile to reach your ideal customer. So the first thing I did is I said, Chris, let's look at your calendar for next September. Tell me what day works for you. That's the day of the conference. So once I nailed down Chris, then I was able to talk to a number of other very cool from away speakers, as we call them here in Maine. which included Derek Halpern of Social Triggers and Amy Porterfield, who was one of the co-authors of Facebook Marketing All-in-One for Dummies. Mm-hmm. And I got them both to show up as well. And then I had a number of other local speakers who were well-known around the area. And I decided that one of the things I really wanted to do is not just have this conference here in Maine. I wanted to have it so that anybody in the world could attend. And so we partnered with this group down in Boston called the Pulse Network. And they live streamed the event, but it was also available on demand, and we sold tickets both for live access and on demand, and we were able to reach a wider audience, and that was the first year, and this year I certainly hope, since we have limited space, we can only have 400 people in the conference itself here in Maine, but we also, there's basically limitless access once you get into the virtual world. So this year I'm really hoping to explode those numbers and reach a much wider audience and have some ideas on how to do that. And so just right now lining up some of my marquee speakers, and then I'm going to put out the call to action for or the call for presenters for to fill out the rest of the spots.
So
if you're looking for presenters, let me know. I'd love to help in any way I can with this. This is like exactly what I teach.
Well, that's awesome. I will definitely – so I have not come up with all the dates yet, but, you know, it's usually we sell tickets starting in June, so I'm going to probably start looking – putting out the call for speakers sometime in May. And then the tickets, you know, the early bird start in June. And the conference this year is going to be September 20th. So go ahead, mark your calendars down for that day. And part of it is, you know, I love Maine. I didn't grow up here. I grew up outside of Boston. But I've moved here. I will never move again. I love Maine. I love everything about it. Even the, like, you're like, oh, my God, it's cold. It's 45 degrees. I'm like, oh, my God, it's so warm today. It's like 45 degrees. So I guess it's just what you get used to. Plus, I love to ski and snowboard. But part of it is I really want people who – I talk to a lot of people, and this is actually the conversation I had with Derek Halpern last year, where he's like, you know, I've always wanted to come to Maine, but I've never really found a reason to go up there. And so I invited him to my conference. A lot of people have this idea like, oh, I'd love to go to Maine. I hear it's wonderful, but, you know, I can't really afford it or whatever. So I purposely made the conference on a Friday so people could come up, go to the conference, and then September is the nicest month all year in Maine. So come up and spend the weekend here. You write the entire thing off as a business trip.
That's awesome. Do you know the name Simon Mainwaring from We First?
I'm sorry, say that again. I couldn't hear.
Do you know the name Simon Mainwaring, the number one best-selling author of We First?
I do not. I'm afraid I don't.
Go check out WeFirstBranding.com. He's all about what he calls social branding, which is using social media to tell the story of the good your company does in the world. He works with companies like Coca-Cola, Nike, Live Strong, Martin Luther King Foundation, etc., and is responsible for a lot of their social branding. Simon is a really close personal friend and mastermind partner. He helps me. I help him. If you're interested in having him speak, he's got a huge following in social media. He could really bring
out
a bunch of people with him.
That sounds great. So, yeah, so that's basically, you know, that's what the Agents of Change is all about, and this will only be the second year, but it's something that I really plan on. You know, I told myself that I was, and I think this is important. If you're going to do your own event, and I think that this is something that people can do on whatever scale they want, because putting on in-person events, you mentioned earlier the importance of, like, going to networking events and seeing people in the flesh. That was part of what I wanted to do is, A, it helps establish my brand and my company's brand is within the state of Maine and now outside of the state of Maine as well. But it's also, you know, Maine, like I said, is a small state. And we don't always get big-name speakers in the realm of business or web marketing or social media to come to Maine. And there's a certain energy that happens when you're in a room with 50 or 100 or 400 other people who are all interested in learning, and you've got a dynamic speaker up there in front who's sharing with you some of his or her best ideas on how to grow your business. It's a very different experience than sitting in a webinar when you're in the office by yourself, even if 10,000 other people are on the line, or, you know, attending one of these virtual conferences. Going out and going to different events is critical to the growth, I think, of any person and also any business. And, you know, in a couple weeks I'm heading out to San Diego for the Social Media Marketing World. And earlier this year I went to NMX, which used to be Blog World. I find going to those kind of conferences for both the learning and the networking aspects to be critical to my own personal growth.
Yeah, I agree. Couldn't agree more, actually. If you're really serious about the success of your business, you really should be going to those kinds of conferences.
So hopefully people will go to one, and hopefully if they can, they'll come to the one in Maine.
Of the conferences you go to, which one do you think is the best both for the learning and the networking?
The ones that I go to, I have to admit, fallen into a little bit of a rut. I've been going to Blog World, now called NMX, for years. I found that to be very good, but for me it's almost like alumni weekend now. I don't really go as much for the learning as I used to, and now it's more for the networking and just making connections, and especially the marketing agents component of my business. For me, like when I speak
NMX
at local...
NMX is a huge event, isn't it? Didn't
I
have like 5,000 people at it last year?
Yeah. So it's, and this is the first year it's been called NMX. It used to be called Blog World, and they changed the name. I'm excited to check out the Social Media Examiner, Social Media Marketing World this year. This is their first one, and they've got a huge amount of great speakers showing up. And I know that there are people from all over the world who are going to come. So that's pretty exciting, and I'm looking forward to kind of getting out of my comfort zone and meeting some new people. The one that's been on my list for the past couple of years has been the World Domination Conference. Or World Domination Summit, I can't remember now, but that's the one.
Love
where
his name.
Yeah, it's been everybody who goes says it's one of the best conferences out there.
That's what
now,
I've heard about
I
it too. It's definitely on my radar for one of the ones I want to go to in the next couple of years.
Right. Now, so a lot of people love South by Southwest. Personally, I have a great time when I go there. I haven't been in a few years because I like food and drinking and late night parties. But I rarely learn anything at South By. So it's difficult for me as a business person with limited resources to say I'm going to go to South By unless it's vacation time.
That's a good way to look at it.
But I also think people can find local events, too. And if you're interested in establishing your credibility through doing your own presentations, you know, when I'm the kind of speaking gigs that I do on a national level actually rarely get Flight New Media any business, but the ones that I do locally tend to get my business more business. So very often I'll speak for either free or for a smaller fee than I would normally take when I'm doing something in, you know, like speaking for, there's an association of associations I'm speaking for in a few weeks, and then I'm speaking for the main restaurant expo, which is basically a whole bunch of restaurants and hospitality businesses in the state of Maine, and I talk about social media and web marketing and all these sorts of things. And those generally give me more business for flight than other types of presentations that I give. So I like to kind of mix it up a little bit there.
And part of that,
plus I've got two daughters, so I can't always be on the road. I'm sorry, I think I was talking over you.
It's okay. I think we were both mind melding. You know, but you're putting a very important issue into the conversation, which is you are predominantly looking for having your own business presence in your community, which happens to be the entire state of Maine. And in that community, it's best done face-to-face, where people have a chance to see you and experience you and learn from you.
That's definitely part of it. And so that's – so I have both a – local speaking strategy, which is kind of what we talked about, where I go out and I do 45-minute to an hour presentations on different topics. And those tend to be a little bit more broad topics. So when I'm speaking to a local group, I might try and do something on, like, say, Facebook marketing or YouTube marketing, because I know that people locally, at least, they're looking for some general information. And then if I can establish the credibility of Flight and Rich Brooks while I'm up on stage, then they're going to ask me for more information, and hopefully I can lead them to ultimately doing business with us. Where when I do giant conferences, one of the things that I've learned is you want to be as specific as possible on your topics. Like doing something on Facebook is just, unless you are the Facebook expert, you're never going to get that speaking gig. So you want to do something with either like a very clever title or a very clever take on Facebook if you want to be able to speak on Facebook at one of these national conferences, because it's just difficult to get you really need to differentiate yourself when you're doing that. And a lot of those times, you're really, what you're doing there is just establishing your credibility or giving back to your industry, where locally I'm out there and I never try and push, you know, my own business when I'm on stage. I think that's tacky. But at the same time, I'm trying to establish my credibility so people come back and they ask me more questions, and suddenly they're like, well, can you just do this for me? And I'm like, let me walk you over to my office and we can certainly talk about it.
I love it. You know, I mentioned before, I've got this little Post-it note here with hash marks on them. And, you know, the irony is this conversation, in a sense, has been the perfect new marketing 101 conversation. Because of all the various aspects that we've touched on, this is not about being a marketing company. This is for any organization, whether it's for-profit or not-for-profit, to really sit down and think through strategically what's the best approach for having a public presence and in which venues is that best going to take place, and then how does the online world support that?
Absolutely. And I think that that's, you know, people who – if you want to be a big deal online, sometimes you have to go offline to make those connections, and vice versa. You know, so it's really about trying to, you know, break through people's expectations. You know, when we started to promote our conferences here in Maine, you know, we had some people who were like, oh, well, we can help you get, you know, like get onto social media. I'm like, listen, I know all that stuff. What I want to do is I want to reach the businesses that would never get on Twitter and don't do Facebook and aren't sure about LinkedIn. So I need newspaper ads. I need TV ads. I need radio ads. I need all the kind of things I tell people to stop doing. That's how I'm going to reach my core audience. Then I'm going to educate them, and then they'll start using some of these other tools as well. But I need to find ways to reach people that I can't normally reach through my regular channels. So a lot of life now is about finding the balance between online and offline marketing, and that's really because you want to touch people in as many ways as possible, and you want to make as many types of connections as possible. And no Facebook friend is ever going to be as loyal as a real friend. You know, somebody you've met in real life, somebody you've broken bread with or had a drink with or shaken hands with or shared a laugh with, that's a much different and a much deeper experience. So, you know, even the biggest internet marketer still has to think about how can I connect with people in real life as well.
Well, I can tell you that I'm going to be making the link to today's show part of required listening for the members of the Breakthrough Academy.
Well, that's cool. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
and Gina.
And so many of my people think that if they're building a business that's going to sell digital products, sell coaching, sell stuff in a virtual setting, that they can bring all the people they need from the online world. And it's so not true. You really cannot replace that handshake, that dinner, that drink with just doing things virtually. While you can build a healthy business just using online sources to do it, if that's all you're doing, you're missing a lot. You're leaving a lot of money on the table, and you're missing out on the opportunity to turn people who are fans into what I call raving evangelists.
Right. Exactly. And you see that all the time. And, you know, I think one of the reasons why, even though this is still digital, the reason why podcasting is having a renaissance right now and YouTube is so big is because it allows us to get more of that person. When I listen to somebody's
yes.
podcast, I can hear their voice and their intonation, not just the words that they're typing into a blog post. When I watch a
yes.
video, I can also see the way they move, the way they hold their body, and maybe I would have missed a smirk on a podcast or in a blog post, but I see that when I'm actually looking at your video. So, and again, that just takes it one step closer, but ultimately, then meeting that person in real life. You know, we do, here in Maine, we're still doing tweet-ups, which is basically what I call Twitter in real life, and we have another one coming up Thursday night. And the reason I have them every month is so that a bunch of us who sometimes spend too much time networking online can go out and, you know, have a drink together or socialize together. And it's those moments that actually bring us a lot closer together. And I've actually found that those physical tweet-ups really speed up the process of bonding with people and also creating new business opportunities. And I found a lot of vendors and customers just from putting on these you know, tweet-ups and getting together with people in real life.
That's a great idea. I've known a number of people who really wanted to get onto bigger stages, more national events. And in order to do that, what they did strategically was brilliant. They started out setting up a meetup group that met monthly. I know three people that have done this now. Set up a meetup group to bring in the people that they wanted to reach. Promoted that meetup both online and offline through radio ads, newspaper ads, etc. And within 3 to 6 months, the meetup groups themselves were attracting so many people that they had to switch to a paid, do my own events quarterly kind of a model just because it attracted so many people. One guy easily put 600 people into his paid program just because the meetup group and the promotion of it made it so successful and brought in so many people. We only have 90 seconds left, guys, and this has been a blast, Rich.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been a lot of fun for me, too. I love talking about this sort of stuff.
So where can we send people to find you?
All right. Well, if my newest thing is definitely the marketing agent. So head on over to themarketingagents.com and please sign up for the free updates that we send out. We do at least one blog post a week. Plus, we're soon going to be adding podcasting, and occasionally we'll throw up a video there as well. So themarketingagents.com. And if you need help with your own business and you're looking to hire somebody, then please consider Flight U Media, and that would be FLYTE.BIZ. And you can check us out there as well.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for being here today and for sharing all of this fantastic advice. I agree with Linda. This show should be a required listening for everybody in my program as well. Great advice. Really help people see a model for really serving an audience while strategically monetizing, which is exactly what I teach.
Excellent. Well, thank you for the opportunity, and I really do appreciate it.
If I can get anything else to help in the future, Rich, please just reach out. I'd be happy to help in any way that I can.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Linda, for setting this all up today.
My absolute pleasure.
Linda and I will be back next week at noon Eastern on Tuesday for another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.